Welcome to BDO in the Boardroom, a podcast series for board of directors and those charged with governance. Each episode features a topical discussion with board peers and subject matter experts on both trending and timeless boardroom issues, covering a myriad of issues, including, but not limited to, mitigating risk in the increasingly digital world, navigating your board career, from landing your first board seat to succession planning in support of the next generation, to other top-of-mind issues such as ESG reporting, shareholder activism, and the insights we share through the BDO Center for Corporate Governance and Financial Reporting. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or Spotify. Let's get started.
Hello, I'm Amy Rojic, Director of BDO's Center for Governance, and I'm very happy to have the chance to sit down once again with fellow colleague Todd Simmons to discuss the pre-election considerations for boards of directors. We will discuss tax policies expected to be enacted pending the results of the U.S. elections this fall and how the board can best plan for these potential policies given various scenarios. But first, a little bit about Todd. He is our National Managing Principal of Tax Risk Management and Leader of Tax Controversy and Federal Tax Policy Practices. He is responsible for managing tax risk issues for the firm, including tax return preparer issues, client-related practice issues, and reportable transaction consulting. And in addition, he oversees our practice that manages tax controversies and addresses questions of tax procedure. Todd also advises clients of the potential for legislative activity and the impact of changes in tax law, which will be our topic for today. So Todd, welcome.
Thanks, Amy. Glad to be back with you.
Excellent. All right, we're going to dive right in. So there's a lot riding on tax policy with respect to the upcoming presidential election, along with potential changes in the composition of the House and the Senate. So perhaps we begin with the scenario in which the Democrats hold the House and perhaps pick up strength in Congress.
Sure, Amy. In a situation where we have, I guess you could look at it as a Democratic trifecta, where they have the House, the White House, and the Senate, they're going to have to consider the end of the Jobs Act, which came in 2017. And I think that's really the biggest issue right now that all interested parties are grappling with. When I talk to practitioner colleagues, it's the end of the Jobs Act, all those provisions that depart after 2025. That's the big story. What are we going to do about that? The Democrats, although they certainly don't support most of the provisions in the Jobs Act that was enacted in 2017, there are going to be provisions in there that they don't necessarily want to go away. Many of those might be individual provisions, some of the rate cuts, et cetera. But there's going to be other provisions that they're going to be looking at as well to perhaps continuing on or modifying. So in a situation with the Democratic sweep, we can talk about individuals, and then we'll get into some of the business considerations, only because we've heard more about individual policy out of the Democrats right now than we've heard about business. This 400,000 mark as a place where they would not increase taxes, that will probably be something they'd be interested in keeping. But let's talk a little bit about some of the corporate issues. Recall that the Jobs Act reduced the corporate rate down to a permanent 21%. That's one of the few permanent provisions that came in the Jobs Act. Most of those provisions do go away at the end of 25, but the 21% rate's here to stay. It's very likely that the Democrats will look to try to increase that, maybe to 28%. That's a number that we've been hearing for some time now. So that is a place I think they'd look at. Also, perhaps increasing the excise tax on stock buybacks. It's at 1%, perhaps up to as much as 4%. The OECD global minimum tax, so-called Pillar 2, is something that has also been around for some time now. We have a new corporate AMT that came in the IRA in August of 22. That is a corporate minimum tax of 15%, but while it's close to what the OECD would want, it's not quite there yet. So that's another place that we think in a Democratic three-way scenario could be something that gets some interest. What will also be very important, as it is every year, is what happens in the Senate. Assuming the Democrats keep control of it, unless they have 60 votes, we're still going to look at any tax package likely expiring after 8, 9, 10 years again, because they'd have to go through that budget reconciliation process like they did in 17. That's why we are where we are now. That's why we have the expiring Jobs Act provisions. So while I do think there will be a push to do something, And they might even bring back some of the things that passed the House this year in January. That was the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act that had several different business provisions like research expensing, interest deduction under 163J, bonus depreciation. While that didn't pass the Senate, some of those provisions might come back as well in a three-way Democratic scenario.
Got it. All right. So let's flip that coin and understand what may happen should we see the Republicans take the White House and or pick up strength in Congress as well. So maybe the other side of the trifecta.
Then I think our starting point is the Jobs Act, because that was a Republican bill. And I think that would probably be the starting point of any additional legislative activity in a Republican three-way scenario. I don't think it would just be a matter of extending it. I think at that point, there'd be interest in looking at some of the provisions, modifying them. We've heard Donald Trump out there in the campaign trail talking about taking that permanent corporate rate and bringing it down to either 20%. And in some instances, we've heard 15%. That is something that there's been expressed interest in doing as well. I think in addition, we've also heard Donald Trump interested in not taxing tips. So that might be something. And in fact, Kamala Harris has as well talked about that as well. So that's the one tax policy where I think they see eye to eye. But you go back to the jobs provisions, we have the 20% income deduction under 199 Cap A. That is something that, again, there's interest in extending that. I have been hearing that the lobbying efforts in Washington on trying to keep the Jobs Act provisions, at least many of the business provisions as well, is pretty high. So in a Republican three-way scenario, I just continue to think that's going to be the starting point. Then we go back to the bill again that was approved by the House this year, the Tax Relief for American Families and Workers Act. There's bipartisan support for many of those provisions as well, so we might see some of those come back in. And I'll give you an example. The restoring research expensing, again, that interest deduction, some of those issues will come back. One thing to take note of in a Republican trifecta scenario as well is IRS funding. So we know that the IRS was funded about $80 billion in the IRA 2 years ago. $20 billion was clawed back. That was intended to be extraneous, separate funding, not part of its annual appropriations amount. The Democrats, that's the way they see that. The Republicans, however, see that a little bit differently. Many of them have looked at it as enhancements to its operating budget. So that those funding amounts may also be in play in terms of either clawing some back, repurposing it, applying it to other things, making it part of its annual appropriations. And that would have a major impact on audits, modernization, all the things that we, you know, see in our day-to-day as we work with the IRS, but that taxpayers would have to start to take account with in terms of, you know, whether the IRS will be a bigger part of their life.
Got it. So let's bring this around specifically on the corporate side to the boardroom. So as a board member, really, what can be, I guess, being attempted or being done to understand the total tax posture of the organizations that they serve, and then considering and planning for the impacts from such looming tax proposals that you just laid out?
So I think there's a lot of things that corporate boards and their management need to be doing right now, and that they can be doing. And this comes, you know, about every presidential election year. I mean, really in recent years too, tax policy, although we haven't heard much of it in the campaigns of late, we are starting to hear more. It has just become a target of both parties. This is where they're going to go as soon as they, you know, they get the keys to the White House. First of all, I mean, boards should be conferring with management to review financial models, to talk about how tax could play out, including changes in rates, deductions, credits, exclusions, et cetera. Even really take those to the extremes. You know, what would a scenario of all Republican or all Democrat look like for us if the rates were increased, if they were decreased, and talk about those models. stay in the know. Even corporate members should really need to follow the news, follow changes, you know, review these with management. What could really happen? What scenarios are realistic? Now, one thing, you know, to mention too, is we could be in a scenario with divided government, where we've got Republicans and Democrats controlling one or two, but not all three of the relevant chambers here. And so that's a case where I think things are going to be sluggish, where we're not going to see a lot of activity. But again, they have to go back and address some of the Jobs Act expiring provisions, but they might give piecemeal extenders for a short period of time. Well, that will impact companies too. What will that mean for them? Now, we know the corporate rate stays permanent. I don't think that would change in divided government, but what other things might come into play as well? What things might be extended? But I think in a divided government scenario, things will be more tamped down. I think boards also have to understand their organization's tax risk management policies, something I work with quite a bit around compliance, reporting, consulting. How will this impact our risk profile in tax? If we start to see changes in either substantive law, rates, credits, et cetera, or we see changes in procedure, reporting requirements, things that we have to do now to comply, how is that going to change what we need to think about day to day? I would be getting regular real-time updates on the changes in policy, especially after the election. You know, that's really when we're going to start to understand what things could look like. Obviously, that period after the election, we should know pretty quickly what the White House, the House and Senate will look like. And I think that's really the time to think about what could really happen in terms of changes. International and global tax is always top of mind, especially of organizations that have global reach. What changes could impact global tax? Will the OECD Pillar 2 become law? What international changes might happen from the Jobs Act in 2017 and how that will impact global activity? Also, you know, I check to ensure that tax policy continues to align with the firm's social policies, even after January. You know, firms are looking at ESG policies, and how does tax line up with that? You know, is there anything that needs to be taken into account with changes? And a lot of those things can also hover around tax credits. A lot of the credits that we see are designed to promote certain behavior, investment in certain things, certain efficient, fuel efficient things, that kind of thing. And so we want to see, you know, how does that line up with what an entity's goals are? And, you know, finally, I would say, talk to your tax advisors, talk to your outside tax advisors. They're going to be following changes in tax policy very, very closely, day to day, in real time. Make sure they're working with the organization's internal tax team to respond to any changes.
One of the things I think that we're right now, as we're recording this, we don't have a lot of information about what potentially the Democratic Party may or may not do. Are there any newer areas of tax regulation that may result from some of the more, enhanced policies that the Democrats are thinking on making, whether it's social, whether it's credits for bringing back the child care credit, the $6,000 credits, things like that?
Yeah, I think that much of the Democrats' policies and wish list right now do hover around social policy, for example. And again, many of that touches individuals. Why? Well, they vote. And so they're going to be the interested target of changes. Vice President Harris has talked about focusing on individual tax, again, that sort of 400,000 line, but reductions for those making 100,000. And looking at the credits that you're mentioning, 3,000, 6,000, enhancing the child credit, these are things that they've talked about during their conventions. And so those are priorities that they have consistently maintained. If I look at a wish list of where Harris and President Biden have been talking, we've talked about raising that corporate rate, changes to some of the international provisions, GILTI, FIDI, and BEAT, expanding that net investment income tax, again, that to that 400,000 income cap, long-term capital gains rate changes, changes to the estate tax. In fact, some new policies that have been floated about taxing unrealized gains at death, which is not the way our system works right now. And so that would be new policy. Although we've not heard the Harris campaign talk about this. These are things that have come up, you know, in the Biden-Harris administration. So things that we'd have to kind of see where a candidate Harris's tax policy wish list lines up from the Biden-Harris administration's policy wish list. You could even go back to early spring when the Green Book comes out, Treasury's wish list, which is the administration's tax policy wish list. It's still not crystal clear. You know, you mentioned where Harris would be on those policy changes. That really is Biden's wish list. So we still have yet to see. It's to be determined where a Harris campaign will fall out on those.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we're getting closer and closer to the election. And it's important, though, for, I believe, boards and other companies to really be looking at the whole package. I mean, we often talk about the total tax posture of the company, but it also has a huge effect on employees and what that is going to mean for employees. So I really appreciate your time, Todd, and what I can promise our viewers is that we'll certainly have you back either before the election when maybe policies become a little more crystallized as the candidates get into it, and certainly after the election to really understand how companies should be looking at this. But truly appreciate your thoughts and your time today with us. And hopefully our listeners got a lot out of this. So thank you again.
Look forward. Thank you, Amy.
Thank you for listening to BDO in the Boardroom. Past episodes and related insights are available at bdo.com/BDO Boardroom. Or you can go to iTunes or Spotify to rate, review, and subscribe. The views expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect the views of BDO. For more information on the BDO Center for Corporate Governance and Financial Reporting and the resources we provide, visit bdo.com/BDO knows governance.